Can I come down here? Is that okay?
Yes.
Some of you said yes.
Yes.
Can I just pray? Can I just pray for myself? So I was preaching twice this morning, and then Ricky said to me the other day, make sure you rest on Sunday afternoon. And as I left at 1:30, there was somebody that, a family that just needed some time. So they came to our house, and they didn't leave till 4:45. So I'm really tired. Can I just be honest with you? I'm really tired. Is that okay? If you can't be honest with your congregation, who can you be honest with? So can I just pray that whatever comes out of my mouth tonight will make sense? Can I do that? And if it doesn't, Ricky, just tackle me and take me down, and we'll sing another few songs and we'll all go home. Is that all right? Is that all right? And I'm tired from this morning. I was moving about too much this morning. So let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you're a God who is good and a God who is faithful and a God whom we love. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we briefly look at your word tonight, I pray that it would help us in our life, it would help us in our path, it would help us in our walk, Father God, to be more like the children that you've called us to be. So Lord, would you help me tonight to bring what your people need to hear from you, and then would you help me to stop when I've said enough? In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you all said amen to that bit. So we're starting a new series this evening. We started a new series this morning as well. And this morning's series is, what's the series called in the morning?
Joshua.
We're going for the book of Joshua, and the series is called Encouragements for Your Faith, for Your Journey of Faith. And in the evening, we're going to call in the series The Path, Studies in Proverbs. And we're saying it's about keeping your head and your heart and your life on track. So in the evenings, we're going to dip into Proverbs, and we're going to look at some Proverbs that you'll know and some that you won't know. And our idea in that, as I've looked at this series and prepared this series, is it's to help us keep our head and our hearts and our lives on track. And so we're going to do that. And tonight we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. And tonight I've entitled this message, Your Direction Determines Your Destination. Your direction determines your destination. And what I want to do just for a few moments, in a moment of time, I'm going to put some photos up on the screen, and hopefully you can see them. If you can't see them right at the back, then come and join me, and there's a screen here. But you should get the idea. And I'm going to put three images up, first of all. And when you see those images, I want you to say nothing straight away, but I just want you to think of what words come into your mind when you see these images, yeah? So the first image is this one. No? The first image is this one, okay? So if you can't see it from the back, it's a cork board, and it's got a calendar on it, one of those calendars, and then on it, it's got loads of post-it notes that says dentist, swim class, pick up the kids, get the milk, food, shopping, clean the kitchen, dry cleaning, feed the fish, and school play. Wow. What is it, when you see that, what words come into your head? Just shout out the words that come into your head.
Busy.
What do you say? Busy. Okay.
Reminders.
Hectic. Normal. Somebody said normal. Okay, that's okay. What else comes into your mind? Sorry? Old age. Ken's like, posters. You go to Ken's house, there's posters everywhere. No, I'm only joking, there's not. Okay, and this is slightly different, but what would you say if you saw this picture? Would you say similar things? Would you want to add anything else? So this is a calendar, and it's got payday. Payday's, payday, and it's got PTA meetings, it's got department meetings, it's got car servicing, and it's got picnic. Yeah, so what sort of words would you have? You'd have the same sort of words, would you? Pardon? Is it a bit more organized? Okay. What about this one? That looks a bit more relaxed, doesn't it? Do you think that looks a bit more relaxed? It's full, and it's got those little post-it sticker things that Ricky's got. I found loads of those in the photocopy room. I took a few to borrow. Is that okay? I don't know whose they were. But there's all these images that we look at. And actually, somebody said it make you feel busy. And there are different people's schedules. And we can be really good, can't we, at times, in just having busy schedules. I think somebody down here said, it's normal. But the question I want to ask us tonight is, does it have to be normal? Should it be normal? Does it have to be normal, and should it be normal? Your direction determines your destination. And so actually, if I look at all these things on this board, and I've chosen them specifically because I don't see any element of that, or in this one, of any element of God in any of these things. And so this agenda here is from a Christian, because I know it's from a Christian, and it has lots of stuff on here, what they do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the weekends. Weekends is dry cleaning. That sounds fun. But they have fish and chips at the weekend, which is a bad thing, but it's okay once in a little while. But actually, if we look at those schedules, so often we see those schedules, and actually we say they're busy, but the reality is sometimes we like them to be busy. We like to feel busy because sometimes it gives us worth. So how are you? I'm busy. Sometimes, have you ever, anybody ever said to you, you know, how are you? Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just sat around, just relaxing, sat on a nice cup of coffee, just spending some time with Jesus, just chilling. You ever hear that? But actually, we there's a sense that we like to tell ourselves that we're busy, but actually, there's a song, is it? Busy doing nothing, working the whole day through, trying to not to do. Thanks for helping, because I couldn't remember the last part of that song in my office. But actually, the reality is this, that actually, we surely believe in the Word of God. And the Word of God in Proverbs said this, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So actually, by the very nature, and in the Message version, it says this, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. I love that. And just look at those two versions. In the NIV, it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. And actually, if I look at those agendas, or if I looked in my agenda tonight, or diary, what do we call them here? Diaries. They call them agenda in Peru, or agendas. But if I looked in all of our agendas tonight and all of our diaries, how much evidence would I see of God's presence? How much evidence would I see of God's presence? And how much evidence would you see in mine of God's presence? Well, God's in everything, Pastor. So God's in everything. So he's in the busyness. He's in the washing up. And he's in all the activities of life, because that's just the situation that I'm in. But actually, Proverbs 16 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. And we naturally want to plan our schedules, plan the way that we should do things, plan the way that we think we should do things, or the things that we think we should be doing. But this verse says that actually humans are really good at doing that, but the Lord establishes our steps. The Lord really wants to establish our steps. And why does the Lord want to establish our steps? Because he wants to keep our heart and our head and our heart and our lives on track. He wants to keep our heads and our hearts and our lives on track. He wants us to be doing the things that will refresh us, and also the things that will stretch us. He wants to put us into the situations that we need to be in, even though we might have been in the situation that we've liked for years. Sometimes he moves us on so that we are in the places that he wants us to be in. And so actually we say that your direction determines your destination. When you plan your schedule or plan your life, so often we can just determine our destination. We can determine what we will do, sometimes with little consultation with the Father, who we are his children. And actually, surely, if we understand God's word to be true, it says that actually, but the Lord will establish his steps anyway. So why don't you bring God into some of that planning? I love that the Message, I don't use it terribly often, but I love the way that it describes it here. It just goes straight to the point, doesn't it? We plan the ways we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Now, we plan the ways that we want to live, but if we plan wrongly, Can you not give testimony to God's providence in your life that sometimes when you plan the way you want to live and have little consultation with God, sometimes you look back on your life and you say, wow, what a missed opportunity. What a barren time. What a difficult time in my life. Not to say that with God things are always perky and rosy and perfect, because they're not. The walk of a disciple is a hard walk, but with the presence of God, it's a lot easier. But I love there that the message says, we plan the way we want to live. But if we call ourselves disciples, born again Christians, is that what we should do? Question. Is that what God requires of us? Question. Or does God want us to consult him? And actually in those busy agendas, make sure that we consult him and ask him what he should be involved in. See, your direction determines your destination. Your input discerns where you're going. You know, that actually, you know, your direction determines your destination. Let me explain that a little bit more. That actually, if I exclude God from my life, then actually my destination is not going to be a place necessarily where he wants me to be. It's going to be a place that I might feel good for a moment. But actually, that moment of happiness will not last forever, because it's not the perfect place that he wants me to be. In other words, people can make plans, but God determines the way it will turn out. So how about saying, well, actually, God, if you determine the way it's going to turn out, why don't I just make sure that in all of this, I make sure that you are the one that directs my path. You are the one that, because you know my head like nobody else knows it. You know my fears and my anxieties and my struggles and my insecurities. You know my head, Lord, more than anybody else does. You know my heart, its strengths and its weaknesses and its vulnerabilities. You know my life, Lord, not the life that everybody sees, but the life that you see and I see. And actually knowing all those things, that he knows our head and our heart and our life, and he wants to keep those things all on track, why don't we let him direct our path? And why don't we let his direction in our life determine our destinations? You know, most of us wanted to be something when we were younger. When we grew up, we wanted to be something, didn't we? Some of you might have wanted to be a rock star, I get a sense. Mr. Barlow, did you want to be a rock star? No, just checking. Some of you might have wanted to be a doctor or a movie star or a painter or a fireman. When I was growing up, do you know what I wanted to be? I wanted to be a family man. I wanted to have a family to love, and I wanted them to love me. Now, that wasn't because I didn't have a good upbringing. It hasn't because I haven't got loving parents, because I have. But I just wanted to be in a loving family where they would love me and I would love them. And at a later stage in my life, I realized that I wanted to make sure that we loved God and God was the center of our lives too. It's safe to say that all of us often have dreams and desires and plans for our lives. But can I tell you this evening, I believe from Scripture that God has a greater plan and purpose for your life. God has a greater plan and purpose for your life. And all the students, I don't speak to you much just because you've got a great pastor over there, but please be assured of my prayers for you, those who are here tonight and those that were here this morning, as you go off into this big new world. And you know what my prayer for you every day is? I don't mind if you eat or don't eat. I don't mind if you don't do your studies or not your studies. My prayer for you is that the Lord Jesus Christ and you keep as friends. That's my prayer for you until the end of university, because I know from speaking at lots of universities in the past that is a time where so many can just walk away. And so, hey, listen, if you need to eat, then call Ricky and he'll look after you. But my prayer is that you'll stay close to the Lord, that you'll stay close into the steps that he has for you, because it's a challenging time. It really is a challenging time. But you see, today, I believe through understanding of Scripture that God has plans for each and every one of us. And for us to be in his perfect plan for our lives will be what's best for our head, our heart, and our lives. because God knows me so well. He knows me better than you know me, better than Aunt Jeanette knows me, better than anybody knows me. And you see, it says there in that verse, doesn't it, that God, the heart of man, the heart of, that man plans his course, but the Lord demands his steps. But we see in Scripture, don't we, Saul, he wanted to persecute the Christians in Damascus, but he ended up being one of them. Didn't we see that? That he had his own plan and his own agenda of what he wanted to do, but God had a very different plan. From somebody that wanted to kill them all, he became one of them, and then he took God seriously, and after taking God seriously, he preached God's word everywhere he went until people took God seriously themselves and received grace and forgiveness in God. You see, we'll look at in a couple of weeks, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. You see, Jonah was another one. Jonah had one idea and God had another. You know the story, don't you? Jonah had one idea. You know, it's the fish one, the big whale. Anyway, we won't talk about that. But anyway, let's just go on with this. Jonah had one idea, but God had another. Jonah wanted the Ninevites to perish. He wanted them to perish. It was the capital of the ancient kingdom of Asia, and he wanted them to perish. But Jonah was more concerned with what he wanted and less concerned of what God wanted. He was more concerned about how he directed his path to do the things that he wanted to do, rather than allowing God to step in and for God to direct his path to do the things that God wanted him to do. Can that ever be true of us? Let's be honest with ourselves. The reality is yes. And if we say no, then forgive me for saying this, but you're lying. Because we are sometimes do have that same mentality. But again, God knows our head and knows our heart and knows our life and wants to put us on the track that he wants us to put on. So Jonah was concerned about what he wanted, but not what God wanted. God used Jonah as a tool of restoration. And when Jonah came to that moment and that point of understanding that God used him as a tool of restoration, that Jonah was, he was bigger than the big whale at that point. He was delighted that God used him to be a man of restoration. And God did that because he understood that in the human heart, we have our own plans, but the Lord establishes our steps. And in that moment, God intervened and changed his steps. Now, I don't know about you, but I understand that God needs to give us free will, because if he didn't give us free will, we wouldn't be able to say yes to Jesus, would we? But I wish that when we got saved, he took free will off us. Just my crazy theology. Because actually, when we receive salvation, I kind of say, Lord, well, take free will off me now then and just make me do what you want to do, want me to do, because I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to do what you want to do. I've got a very simplistic faith, but I sometimes say to the Lord, don't give me the option. Don't give me the option for me to walk in my paths. Don't give it to me. Because it's not what's good for my head and my heart and my life. And sometimes when you get into those situations, then you wonder why you're all muddled up. And sometimes we blame circumstances rather than saying, well, maybe it's something to do with the choices that I made. And you see, God stepped in. God stepped in to Jonah. And God sometimes does step in. Amen. And sometimes he doesn't. Not so much of an amen. Because you kind of think, well, Lord, why aren't you stepping in? And in personal experience, sometimes when he doesn't step in my life, then it's a bit of a mess. But actually, when I get to a point of humility again and not being cross with Jesus, okay, it's just me that gets cross with Jesus, is actually I look back on that circumstance and I say, Lord, wow, look at what you did there. Look at what you did. I've been reviewing my life a lot lately, and I've been asking God some crazy questions, and God has been giving me some great answers. And the answers have been along the lines of this: God, I'm forming you, I'm making you, I'm preparing you. I can think of a time in my ministry, which I won't speak into now, when I walked into a church, and I walked in after 2.5 days. The associate minister ran off with a worship director, an elder ran off with another worship director, the senior pastor, wife had a triple heart bypass, and then his son died. And I'm there, I'm like, Lord, this is not what we just signed up for. And the next 2.5 years of my life were tough. Tough because I didn't know what to do. Tough because I had to rely on the Spirit of God, but that wasn't tough. That was just humbling in many ways. But then God called me to go to a place where I had no friends for a while, and just my children and Anjanette to Peru. And I look back on that stage when I was at that church before we went to Peru, and I said, Lord, I'm so grateful for that mess. Because if it wasn't for that mess, you wouldn't have changed me and equipped me in the way that you have for me to do the things that I'm doing now. So even if sometimes God doesn't step in like he did for Jonah to stop us from doing some things, sometimes there is an element that God will teach us things in that moment. But God used Jonah as a tool for restoration, and when he found out that, he was delighted. You see, he wanted to direct his own path, but God stepped in and said, Jonah, this is good for you. And it's good for your head, and it's good for your heart, and it's good for your life, but also more importantly than that, I believe, it's good for me. It's good for my kingdom. And I don't know about you, but the day I gave my life to Jesus, it's not about my will anymore. And it's not about the will of this church. It's about the will of the kingdom of God. And I have to be in tune with the will of the kingdom of God and in step with the kingdom of God. You know, Joshua, we hear that story, don't we? Joshua was sold into slavery, but God used him in a great and mighty way. Joshua, that was this morning. Which one shall we do? Joseph was sold into slavery, but we see, don't we, that in Genesis chapter 50, I won't go into the whole story because of time, but Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 to 20, it said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You see, there was a person who just said that actually, God, you've done something in my life which is different, and I don't understand it, but yeah, he looked back on that, going back to that story I just shared with you about that church, and he goes back and says, thank you, God, because what you did in that moment helped me in my faith. You see, the simple reality is this, church, and we're gonna close in a second, I think we'll skip that, that actually God says to us in this proverb, that actually, we can plan the ways that we want. And if we're not a born-again disciple of Jesus, then go ahead. I've got some friends that aren't Christians, and they said, you must be crazy. You must be really upset with the way that we live our lives and the way we do things. And I went, no. They said, you must be really upset with us. I went, no, because you're not choosing to believe in one thing and do another. You're just choosing to live your life that way. My brother's not a Christian, my twin brother. And he often says to me, you won't be happy with what I've done or what I'm saying. And I said, well, it's okay, because it's just the way you want to live. I don't think it's the best for you, but it's the way you want to live. But if we say that we are the Lord's, we have to be careful that we don't allow our human hearts get in the way of God's Spirit's leading in our spiritual hearts. And that's a tricky one to do. I'm not standing here with hands up saying, I've done it, it's all boxed off. But actually, we have to be careful that our human hearts don't determine what we think we need to do without allowing God's Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're called to be, God's Spirit filling our heart to give us a spiritual discernment of the things that we should do. Now, none of us intentionally say that actually we will determine our own course. But just for circumstances of situations, it can so easily happen. And if we're not in the Word, I'm staggered. I'm staggered of how many people in churches today do not spend time in God's Word. I'm staggered. But if we're not in the right place, in His Word, filled with His Spirit, around people who are in His Word and filled with His Spirit, who are wise men and women of faith, to see how easily we could just be distracted. To go and to do it our own way and in our human hearts set our course for life. It can so easily be done, and my word of compassionate warning to you tonight is actually your situation determines how you live and determines your direction, which determines your destination. I don't need people around me who tell me to do something because it will make me happy. I don't need those people. I don't need people around me to say, if it feels good, Scott, just do it. I don't need those people in my life. I don't need people to say, Scott, if it makes you feel happy, then be happy. I don't need those people in my life. But what I do need in my life, and maybe you need them in yours too, is people that are going to love on me in the same way that Jesus does. It's a good start, isn't it, Faith? To love on me like Jesus loves on me, because I'm going to love on them like Jesus loves on them, unconditionally. But actually, that will say to me, Scott, what does God say? How does God want to fulfill you? How does God want to fulfill all those things within you? Because then, and only then, it's time to hear the call of God and to direct my paths differently. Because none of my friends, even though I don't really have many best friends, I used to, but I don't have many best friends anymore. But you know what? The reality, it's hard to have best friends when you're in ministry, I think. But the reality is this, that actually none of my friends know my head like Jesus does. You know those secret things? Anybody got them? Come on, church. Give me a yes. Come on. And none of my friends, not even my wife, who I love dearly, and I hope she's fine. I see Catherine's gone, so she might be fine now. I don't know. Pray for safety for them. They're probably having a cup of tea. But even my wife, who I've loved for many, many years, 22 years this week, anniversary. God bless her for that, eh? But even though she knows my heart so well, God knows it even better. And even though she knows my life so well, and so does a guy called David McCann, who many of you will hear me refer to a lot, my mentor, who I've seen a lot lately, spoken to a lot lately. Even though they know a part of my head and a part of my heart and a part of my life, it's so easy at times to tell them a slightly different story. And that's when we're walking on rocky ground. So the simplistic approach to this text is this. God won't ask us to go and do something that we're not capable of doing. God knows your head, your heart, and your life. Trust in Him. Place your faith in Him. Place your direction in Him. And He will determine your destination perfectly. The situation might not be perfect, but perfection will happen because He has control over our lives. And I close with what I said a few moments ago, and let the band come up, is this. Lord, why do you give me the freedom? Why? He gives me the freedom because He wants me to depend on Him. He gives me the freedom because he wants me to come back to him. Not because he needs my affirmation, not because he needs my love, because he doesn't need my love and he doesn't need my affirmation. But when I come back to him in dutiful obedience to him, then that puts a smile on the Father's face. And I don't know about you. Sometimes he smiles over me, I'm sure, I hope. And sometimes he probably says, Scott. But I want there to be more smiles on the Father's face over me than frowns. And the simpleness of obedience is by daily saying to the Lord, Lord, I do not belong to you. I do not belong to them, but I belong to you. You know my head, you know my heart, you know my life, and you know the plans and purposes you have for my life. Matthew 25, verse 23. One day I want to hear those good words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Bonhoeffer, a great German theologian, says that actually discipleship and trusting in God is not limiting ourselves to what we can comprehend, but just putting ourselves in the presence of God and trusting in him and his path, because he knows, this is my words, because he knows the path that he has for us. And that's all that matters. So I pray this week that as you journey with Christ, that you will just be a person this week that puts your plans and your purposes, your direction and your destination in the hands of God and allow him to lead you into the places that he needs you to go this week and not be disobedient in not going there. As it says in the message, we plan the ways we want to live, but only God will make us able to live it. So why not start with ourselves? Why not start with God? And enjoy the adventure this week. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Is that the time? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done among us today. And Lord, I just pray now that as we sing a few songs in responsive worship, that whatever has been helpful tonight from what I've shared, which I believe is from you, I pray that will just ooze into people's lives tonight. That they will understand that they're precious, they're a gift from God, they're unique in him, and you have some great plans and purposes for their lives. And actually that we should just honor you by consulting you in them and walking in the way that you have for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Do you want
a few?
Do you want just one?
Whatever you're feeling. Just want one song.